Begin. Okay, we're up to. Is this on? Yeah. Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed Beis. We're in the middle of. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, we're not going to go to the Psukim again. We discussed the Psukim, the Maisa, where Hanamel. The Ben Shalom came to visit. Hanamel Ben Shalom, he came to visit Yirmiyah, and he told Yirmiyah that he is declaring bankruptcy, and he's liquidating his assets, and he asked him to purchase his ancestral plot. And Hashem told him this would happen. Yirmiyah was uncertain if Hashem wanted him to buy it or not. Hashem just told him that he would arrive and make him an offer. Yirmiyah discerned from the situation that we discussed yesterday that it was Hashem's will that he indeed should buy the piece of land, even though Yirmiyah knows that it's going to be Churban and the land's going to be worthless, but he should buy the land as an act of Emunah to show that it's not over. Just because we're going into Golis and it's going to be Churban, we will return. The day will come when Klal Yisrael will come back to live in Eretz Yisrael. And he purchased the land. And the Pesukim described in very great detail. He gave him seven shkolim and 10 kesef. As Ramchal said, 7 times 10 is 70. Maybe the loose of the 70 years that Eretz Yisrael is going to be Chorav until they would come back. Connected the 70 shemitos that Klal Yisrael failed to observe. And he made an acquisition, made a kinyan. They were a shtar. And money was transferred. And there were multiple shtaris. We learned yesterday the multiple shtaris. There was the shtar hagolui, the achosum, the revealed shtar, the chukim and the mishpatim. All different types of shtaris were used in this transaction, and they were given over to Hanamel. The transaction was complete, and the shtaris were put in a. Was given into Baruch ben Eriya to put in a klicheres leman yamdu yamim rabim. So we're in the middle of the Rashi's. Rashi pasuk Yud Aleph. When it says in the pasuk, the chasum means with its signature. Besides the shtar mechira, kishu chasum kidas v'choyki was signed. V'yesegolui. What does that mean? The golui means the ashrosa de dainei. There was another document that was written by the court that validated this document just in case the witnesses would no longer be alive at a later point in time and there would be a challenge as to the authenticity of the document. So there would be another document that was written by the court which could not possibly be fake, would always have a kiyum, and this court document stated that the document is authentic. Shehuchzak beBezdin al pi Edav, the Bezdin authenticated the witnesses. The Chosfu, when they wrote the Chosmu Hadayonim Ashrasa the Daini, and they wrote an authorization document. This is what is called in the Gemara who kiyum hashtaros lasos hadavar galui umufursam. That's why according to Rashi it's called galui, that it should be enforced and publicized and well-known, pen yemusu edim, lest the witnesses die. This differed Rashi's...
Like notarizing, right?
Yeah, I guess so, something like that, yeah. Yes, yes, so to speak, yes. So it was a authentication by the court. Again, this goes in contrast with the parish of the Mitsudos, that learned that it refers to a shtar that was we didn't do yet the Radak. We'll come to the Radak yet. But according to the Galui, it's just a regular shtar. If we go back to the words of the Galui in the parish of the Mitzudos, he says, Apostle Genalf, he says, Hu shtar shakos the boysha machir nasa begili bepirsum, the lo hoyamima aral machir ahika sher noigim lichtav gamata. It's a different type of shtar. It does not appear that the Mitzudos is learning it's called what we call ashrosa the dainei. Rather, he seems to interpret this to mean that it was another document that revealed that everything that was done here, there was no contention, there was no dispute, no challenge, and it somehow supported the document. It does not say here that it was done by the court. It just says it was a document that was written that everything is fine and good, and people that again would support the authenticity of the regular shtar. Okay, then Rashi quotes another important point. Rabbi Seinu Perishu Lin Get Pashu Mekusha B'Babashu. We learned this yesterday. The Galui refers to a regular shtar. We go back to Pasuk Gidal, if we learned that there are four different parts. The four parts of what was the pasuk Gidal? Sefer HaMikneh HaChosum HaMitzvah HaChukim V'yetz HaGolui. So the Chosum Sefer HaMikneh was a regular shtar. Chosum was a shtar get poshut, that when a kohen divorces his wife, so they have to, it's a get kosher. They have to make folds. And then Hachukim V'yetz HaGolui, these are all the different parts. I don't remember the details, but these are all the different parts of the shtaros that were used in court. Sometimes it was a regular shtar, sometimes the shtaros were folded and stitched shut in order to delay the giving over of the shtar. And all of these words are interpreted in the Masechta to refer to the different parts as we discussed yesterday. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Yud Beis in Rashi. This is really where we left off. Leine Chanamel Dodi. And I gave the shtar mikneh to my uncle Chanamel. Now, what's the problem? Rashi immediately says the problem. The Arash of Kari was called Ben Dodi. So what happened? Until now, he was called Chanamel, the son of my uncle. My uncle was Shalom, and Chanamel was my cousin. Here, we're calling Chanamel his uncle. So Rashi says, Shema, Shnaim Hayu. We have to suggest that maybe there were two Chanamels. There was Chanamel, the son of Shalom, and then there was Chanamel, who was the brother of Shalom. And both of these people showed up to the transaction, and Yirmiyah gave over the shtar not to his cousin, but out of respect, he gave the shtar part of the acquisition, the Maisa Kinyan. He gave the shtar, however, I'm not sure the details of how this acquisition worked, but he gave the shtar to his uncle. There are two different Chanamels, which makes things much more complex. Obviously, makes things much more complex. The im ain ze lo yadati mahu, and if that's not the pshat, then I really do not understand what exactly is going on, the meaning of the pasuk over here. Then Rashi says something very, very interesting. The yesh noitim lema, some want to suggest doidoy uben doidoy hoya Chanamel li Yirmiya, that Chanamel was both a cousin and and an uncle. How could that possibly be? So Rashi, why you need a little bit of it? It's not so complicated. So we'll go slowly to Rashi. Going, Ruvain nasa es bas Shimon Achiv. Ruvain married his niece. Okay, Chazal indeed tell us it's a mitzvah for a person to marry his niece. It's a mitzvah. And we don't do that today. Obviously, today that would be scandalous. But Chazal in the Gemara, it says there's such a thing that a person is a mitzvah to marry your niece. Now, what happened? V'yoldeloi Nemuel. And they had a child. The child's name is Nemuel. So Nemuel is the son of Reuven. And Nemuel is the grandson of Shimon. Two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven marries Shimon's daughter. They have a child, Nemuel. Nemuel is the son of Reuven, which is now the grandchild, the grandson of Shimon. Ukvar hoilet Shimon Yimin. Now Shimon had another child on his own, Yimin. So the man that Reuven, the daughter, the niece that Reuven married, was the sister of Yimin. Now let's analyze the relationships. Hare Yimin, it turns out now that Yimin is Dodo l'Nemuel. So on the one hand, Yimin is Nemuel's uncle, because Nemuel's mother is Shimon's daughter, and Shimon also has a son called Yimin. So when we look at the relationship between Nemuel and Yimin, it is a nephew-uncle relationship. Shimon has two children, a daughter and a son, Yimin. Reuven married Shimon's daughter and had a child, Nemuel. So Nemuel's uncle is Yimin. Yimin. Sheben, he is the son, Ache Imahu, because he is the son of his mother's. He is the son of Ache Imahu, of his brother, of Nemuel's. Achei, wait. Hare Yimin Dodo Li Nemuel, Sheben, he is Achei Imahu. He is the son of the brother of his mother. Right, that's Nemuel. No, some of this makes sense here. Am I making a mistake over here in this Rashi? Let's do it again. V'yesh noitim lema doidoi ben doidoi hoyil Chanamel liyirmiya. We're going, Reuven nasa es bas Shimon Achiv. Reuven married his niece. V'yod lo Nemuel. Ukvar hoilet Shimon Yimin. Hara Yemin. So Yemin is Doidoy Linmuel. Period. Shaben Ache Imohu. Because Lemuel is the son of the brother of his mother. It's the opposite. Lemuel is the son of his...
In other words, the daughter of Shimon and his and Yamin are sister and brother.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so Lemuel is now a
is a nephew...
Son of a sister.
So should it say Shaben... So how would you write that in Hebrew? Shaben is the daughter of the brother of his mother?
No, the daughter of Shimon and Yamin are brother and sister.
Right.
Okay.
So read the next words.
Reuben marries... I'm not looking at that. I'm just understanding...
Yeah, me too.
Marries the daughter of Shimon, has a child, Nemuel. Therefore, Yamin...
And Nemuel are nephew and uncle. So what does Rashi say? Shaben... Nemuel is the son.
Sheben achi imo.
Achi imo, the brother of his mother. Who? Okay, that's Yamin. Yamin
is Yamin. Yamin is the brother. The daughter, the mother of Nemuel is the daughter of Shimon.
Achi imo. So who's the word ben going on?
Brother of his mother. Yamin is the brother of his mother.
Right, so should not say Sheben. Shehu Achei Imahu. Shachei Imahu. Why does it say the word Ben? The word Ben is very confusing here. The word Ben is throwing us off. Let's make believe it doesn't say the word Ben. Shachei Imahu. Yamin is the brother of his mother. You see what I'm saying over here? That the word Sheben is throwing us off. It seemingly it should say Shachei Imahu. Yamin is Dodo Linemuel. Because Nemuel is Achei Imohu, right?
No, Ben Achei is a son of Shimon. In other words, when it says Ben Achei,
no, this.
Okay,
let's review. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven, you're right, we do need a diagram. Reuven and Shimon are brothers.
Correct.
Reuven marries the daughter of Shimon.
Correct.
Shimon has a son also, called Yamin.
Called Yamin.
So that means the one that Reuven marries is the sister of Yamin.
Correct.
Now they have a child. The child's name is Nemuel. Nemuel is now Reuven's child, and Nemuel is Shimon's grandchild.
Correct.
So when Nemuel looks at Yamin, Yamin, you are my uncle.
Okay.
Uncle through my mother.
Okay.
So now read those words inside. Hare. Yamin. Yamin is Dodo Linemuel. He is the uncle to Nemuel.
Correct.
Now, what would you say? What would your next words be? Your next words would be Shehu, because Yamin is Achei, the brother, Imohu. Isn't that what you would say?
Yamin is the brother of the daughter of Shem.
Fine. Oh, so you want to say that? Fine. So you want to say Shehu. So then you would say Shehu. However you want to say it, the word Sheben seems to be throwing us off. Does everyone agree with me? Or am I wrong? The word Sheben over here seems to be a little bit confused. Seems to be confusing. Okay, let's just gloss over that for a moment. What?
I can tell you how it's translated.
Yeah, how it's translated.
Obviously, they had to wrestle with this too. Got up to the point where Yamin is Nemuel's uncle, right?
Right.
Since he is his mother's brother.
Since he is his mother's brother.
That's Sheben.
He, Yamin, is his mother's brother. Fine, okay, right.
And also his uncle's son.
So what they're saying is the word Sheben means, Sheben does not literally here mean a son. Sheben means he is a human being. He is a human being, Yamin, which is the brother of his mother. All I'm trying to say is the word Sheben in this description is very confusing. Because the word Sheben seemingly has a connotation that we're dealing with a child.
It's referring to Yamin.
Right.
Who is both the son of the brother, Shimon. I don't know how he gets it.
Sheben. All right, so the word Sheben, again, you agree that the word Sheben is confusing. So let's make believe it did not say the word Sheben. It just says Shehu Yamin is the brother of his mother. Now, what else is he? The Gam also, Ben Dodo. Likewise, Nemuel is also, Likewise, Yamin is also, what else is he? Not only is he my uncle, he is my cousin. Yamin is also my cousin. How is he my cousin? Through my father. My father has a brother, Shimon, and Shimon has a child. So Yamin is both my uncle through the mother and is my cousin through the father. V'gam ben dodo shuhu ben Shimon. He is ben Shimon. Here the word ben makes perfect sense. He is the child of Shimon, achei aviv shel Nemuel. So it's very clear what the case is. You have here a situation where you have a person who can be both a uncle through the mother and a cousin through the father. The only thing that's a bit confusing over here in this description, the way Rashi describes it, is that it says the word Sheben in the beginning part, which throws us off. If you just delete the word Ben, everything makes here very perfect sense. But the halach, the concept is very easy to understand. Now Rashi rejects this interpretation for one very interesting reason. The Eina Ehi Mehamida, this interpretation Rashi rejects, is not correct. Why not? Because we don't find throughout the entire Tanakh anywhere the word dod, an uncle, in reference to a relative through a mother. Does not exist. Does not exist anywhere in Tanakh such a concept where you call a person an uncle and the uncle is through a relationship through a mother. So therefore, if you're going to say over here, they were dealing with the same person, one place we call him a cousin, one place we call him an uncle. The reason why we call him his uncle is because he's going to be to the mother. That's violating, it's unprecedented throughout Tanakh. Okay?
Okay.
What?
No.
Okay.
I don't know where you think you're going to find the counterexample, but I have to say though, you're good at the theory of relativity.
Okay, let's now go back to Pasuk Yudalit. What does Pasuk Yudalit say? Koyamar Hashem, Al Toymar, Lechinim Ani Matzniom, Sharei Al Kol Gil Goylim. Okay, now next. Okay, next. Let's quickly go back to the next house. Pasuk Yudalit says, Koyamar Hashem, Zokh Lechay Yisrael, Lechoyach Hashem Oile. So says Hashem, let's read the Pasuk again. Koyamar Hashem, Zokh Lechay Yisrael, Lechoyach, take us as from Oile. Take these books, a sefer hamikne hazeh v'yasechasum v'yasefer hagolui hazeh unisatom b'lichlicheres leman yamdu yomim rabim. Do not think that these books are going to, Rashi says, koyim Hashem al toyim al-lichin mani matzni'om. Sharei akol golem. Do not think that I'm doing all of this for nothing. We're writing documents, we're signing documents, we're making legal acquisitions, and it's all going to go to waste. Why is it all going to go to waste? Because we're all going into exile. Therefore, he says, go put it, go preserve it in the klicheres, leman yamdu, yamim rabim, preserve the klicheres in order that it should last for a very, very long time. Something indeed will come out of this. Okay, now let's take a look at the Radak. The Radak, going back to, okay, where do we get up to in the Radak? Let's go back a few psukim. Let's start from Pasuk Tes. That's really where we're up to, Pasuk Tes. The Eshkeloloi. Okay, so over here, Pasuk Tes, Yirmiyah says that I went and I paid him. I took money. I paid him the money. So it says over here, Hakuf b'shvo patach. The kuf here is an unusual kuf, v'eshkala. Over here, it's an unusual kuf. It's not v'eshkila, we would expect, but rather it's a patach with a shvo, a chat of patach. It's an unusual type of patach. Es hakesef. Hakesef shehisnesi imo shiva shkolim. I took the money, which we agreed upon. How much money was it? 7 shkolim. V'asara kesef. Hashkolim heimonim. A shekel is a money, which means 100 small coins. The kesef he's siloim, and kesef refers to silver coins. The chen tirgum yonason shiva monim, 7 monim. A mon is equal again to 100 coins. The asar silin and 10 coins, the chsaf of silver. Pasuk Yud. What did I do in addition to giving him the money that we agreed upon? I wrote it down. I wrote the words down in the book and I signed it. Afterwards, I signed it. And I made kloimar bif. This means kloimar bifnei edim shezimanti lekach konisya sadeh. In front of the witnesses, which I designated for this purpose, I purchased a field. Vehem hayu choytzmim b'sefer hamikne. And they were the ones who signed the sefer hamikne, the witnesses that I designated for this purpose. They were present when I did the transaction. I transferred the money, and they signed. For eshkla keseh b'maznayim ukvar amar lemaylo v'eshkol lo yakeseh. So here, Radak is asking a question: why again does it say the word v'eshkol when it already says in the previous pasuk that I paid the money? Then in front of the witnesses, I weighed the money. There should not be any argument, any claim later on that I did not give the full amount of money, that the money was fraudulent, was counterfeit. The money was accurate. I weighed the money in the presence of the witnesses. Everything should be 100% correct. What? Also, the 400 shkalim, same thing, he did in the presence of the witnesses. Pasuk Yudal, for Ekach, Esachosum, Ratzulaymar, Sefer Hamikne, Achosum, Kumash Amar, Vuechtoim, I took the document that has been sealed, and now here we're going to have a new interpretation of what it means, Hamitzvah Vahachukim. So the Radak says, Ritzon Ulaymar, Sefer Hamitzvah Vahachuki. Now what is that? The Sefer of the Mitzvah and the Law. The Sefer Shezochar Oymed B'Mokoyim Shnayim. There are two books. There is a book called the Book of the Mitzvah, and there is a book of the Chukim. The Sefer Zehu Tnai HaMechira. It's a Sefer which relates the rules, regulations, terms, and conditions. You've all signed the dotted line. Every time you download something online, right? It'll take you probably a week to decipher what it says on these. So then, do you ever read these things? Does anyone ever read these things? You just sign. Yeah, I agree. Leave me alone. I agree. I don't have time for this. Who knows what you're agreeing to? It's like Obamacare. No one ever read it.
You have to ask it in order to find out what's in it.
They passed it. It's like the size of a library. They have lawyers. They're paying lawyers to sit and write this up. And there's no one in Congress, not even one person in the entire Congress, who passed Obamacare. And this goes for almost every other thing who read even a fraction of what it says in there. What?
It was impossible to read.
First of all, it was given. It was just handed to them on a platter like a day or two before. And
it's not only about everything government is like that. All the
thousands of pages of documentation in the law, in cross references to other laws, and not specifying what it's cross referencing. So it's like you're going looking up the other law to figure out what the law is.
It's infinite.
Infinite.
Okay. So therefore, that's really what this is. The Hamitzvah Hachukim over here means the same thing. These are laws and regulations that come. They attach to these things. Kamo b'mispar shnei. He gives an example. Mispar shnei sivuos, the law of shehi mitzvah b'torah v'yachukim. So he gives an example that it says when it comes to the when you redeem a field, a person sells his ancestral field and he redeems it. Until Yovel, he has the power to redeem his ancestral field. So it's according to the number of tivuos of crops, number of years that remain until Yovel. That is what he will deduct from the purchase price of the field. So there also the word mispar shnei tvuos shehi mitzvah b'torah. The Torah there tells you the specifics, the details.
I have a question. Okay, so the Radak is saying there was the sealed document, there was the open document, and there was this
chukim, mitzvah chukim,
terms and conditions. Now, you would think that either one of those documents, the sealed or the open.
No, no, the Radak doesn't say that. The Radak doesn't say that yet. Yeah.
Terms and conditions.
No, it does not.
To this particular sale.
No, he's saying it does not. The sale just said the sale is taking place, and it did not say the terms and conditions. The terms and conditions, which were basically the boilerplate, that was standard, but that had to be attached. That had to be attached in a separate document. In a Hanami, in the transaction itself, there were no terms and conditions. That was left for the mitzvah ha'chukim. You're right, exactly what you're saying. It was a separate document. Now, ha'chukim, what's chukim? Min ha'gim, shohad yunayim, izman ha'chu be'inyin, ha'mechir, v'chol zeh kosem, b'sefer echad, and all of the customs, the min ha'gim that existed in that time, of the mechir was written in a different document. Okay, the es hagolui, ratzulaima, sef hagolui, ki shnei svarim chas of the mikne, ha'echad shoye chasum, v'echad shoye golui. There were two different dialects. I explained to you outside yesterday, we didn't do it inside, that when it says chasum and golui, he's coming to differ with the perush of the mitzudos. The mitzudos says that the sefer chasum and golui is the same. It just means that the sefer was sealed. It was either signed, there was a signet applied, or it was sealed, but it's one and the same. According to the Radak says there were two separate documents. One document was completely sealed, that was impossible to open, you couldn't open without breaking the seal, and because you would not want to do that on every day, because you don't want to disturb the document, there was another document that served as a carbon copy, and that was called the safe, but that was not the real document. You had to trust that what's that document represented what's in the authentic document. And that's what he explains over here, Kishnei Sfam Chosu B'mikneh, there were two different documents written in the transaction, Ha'echad Shehayu Chosum, one was sealed. The echad shoyu galui kishayirtsu liroi soyu velikroi so shayasu. When you want to know what does it say inside, so you want to know what it says inside, yishayasu kideshalo yiftuchu hechosum. In order that you do not have to disturb the seal on the real document, you would have another document which basically was a carbon copy. And of course, if someone would pose a challenge that's really what it says inside, then of course you would have no choice but to open up the seal and to see what it says in the original document. But as long as no one was coming to challenge the original document, so people just trusted that whatever it says on the sefer that is galui is going to be good enough. Okay, v'inei heim shloish asram, shalom aleichem. Welcome, how are you? I haven't seen you in a long time. Now he comes, v'inei heim shloish asukadim. He concludes over here, the bottom line over here is we have three different documents. After everything that the Radak says, the sefer that's chosum, that's the real document. The sefer galui is the document that is the carbon copy. And then there is the sefer of the chukim u'mishpatim, the terms, conditions, rules, and regulations, for a grand total of three documents. V'inehim shleisha sefarim. Notice, not like the mitzudos and not like Rashi. The mitzudo says the sefer chasum de galui is one document that was just sealed, and it's according to the sefer Rashi learns that the sefer galui is ashrosa de dainei. And according to the Mitsudos, the Golui, he says, it's not exactly Ashrasa de Daine, but it was another document that was written to record that there were no challenges posed. It was a peaceful transaction. Nothing went wrong, a court record almost, not a validation. It was a court record, everything went according to plan, and there were no problems during the transaction. Then he quotes his father, the Adoini Avi Zechon Levracha, Perish Hagoloi, Sefer Shekasbo, Shegilo, Izen Hagoylim, Yirtsu Lignois, Kemoish Osa Boyas. Now, I don't know exactly what this means. It means something that there was some type of discussion. Maybe it was a record, a court record. What is it called? In a court, the transcript, the minutes, right? The minutes. What exactly happened in court? What are they called? People who type. How do they pronounce that? Stenographer.
Court stenographer.
So that's almost what it is over here. The special skilled people who record the events exactly what happened. And Yoinus and Tiergim, the transaction, Kibamud, like we explained above, I'm not exactly sure what it's referring to exactly which of the interpretations, but it generally means the documents that recorded the transactions. So we have over here a lot of confusion, a lot of different Perushim, we go to the Medrash, Rashi, Mesudas, Radak, so many different things, it's just a point of reference. I can't keep track of all the different interpretations going on over here, but there are so many different interpretations because there's so much verbosity in the Pasuk. There's the Sefer HaMikneh, there's the Chasum, the Mitzvah, the Hachukim, the Golui, and then it repeats this again, I think almost three times, I think it repeats this over and over, and we have so much interpretations, exactly what are all these documents going on. I guess that's why you need a lot of lawyers. Right? That's why you need so many
lawyers. For the sake of clarity.
And instead provides... So I guess nothing has really changed today. Today, when you want to do the simplest little thing, you have to have you got to pay thousands of dollars to have a team of lawyers to come and make you confused. What's the difference between a professional and an amateur? Amateur is a professional is someone, this is what it's supposed to be, someone who can take something very complex and makes it very simple. An amateur is someone who takes something very simple and makes it complex. Unfortunately, today, it's just the opposite. Today, today, the professionals take things which are very simple and they're paid to make it very complex so they can make a parnasa. Someone told me recently, he gave me an app to download, and he said to me, I'm telling you, just download, do follow the instructions. It's so easy, even an adult can do it. Okay.
Well, maybe someday the archaeologists will find some of these documents from that era and we'll see how they did it.
Pasik Yud Beis in the Radak, Vo'etain es Sefer Ha Mikna. There is a Hei Ha'idiyah, Bo Behei Ha'idiyah im Hasmichus, Kemoi Mamlechoi Sa'aretz. Even though the word Mikna is next to the word Sefer, the Hei Ha'idiyah connects the two words together. Kemo Shekosavnu Lamala. Lashoin Hakodesh. Sometimes you add a hey even when it's in the smichus form, and there's a patach under that hey. Okay, next, Leini Chanamel Dodi, Rotzolaymar. So here, Radak is asking, is pointing out the same contradiction that Rashi mentioned. What is going on? Is Chanamel called the Dod, or is Chanamel called the Ben Dod? So here we have Baruch Hashem here, getting worried about you. So we have over here. The same thing we said before. What's Lema Ben? We have the contradiction. Before it says he's called the uncle, and then he's called the nephew. So what is he? Is he an uncle or is he a nephew? What's Lema Ben Dodi? No, the Iker is he is a nephew. If he's a nephew, so what happened to the Ben? He gives over here a very beautiful answer. He's no different than Lot. Lot was clearly Avraham's nephew. He was his nephew. And yet, what does he call, how is Avraham called? He's called his, what's the line? Ben Dodi, I'm sorry. Ki Ben Dodo Hoyu Kemosham Lamala. V'chein Lot Ochiv. Sometimes we skip the generation. Lot was his nephew, the son of his brother Haran. Is that correct? The son of Haran. And yet, Lot is called Avraham's brother. He's not his brother, he's his nephew. The answer is, sometimes in Tanakh, we omit a generation. So,
he's also referred to as the son of his brother.
In some places.
By the Mice and Lafacha, by the Five Kings, they give us a Kusha Ben Achi Avraham.
Okay, but then when they depart, why should we fight? Ki Anoshim Achim Anachna, we are brothers. We are brothers, and here he quotes also in Bereshit Yudalid, it's Lot Ochiv. So being that we do find, this is a very good answer to the question that we have already answered, Rashi gave two answers. Rashi says either there were two Chananels, or the Lomnish answer, he was both a cousin and an uncle, a cousin from the father, an uncle from the mother. Rashi said that was difficult because we do not find in Tanakh anywhere an uncle from the mother. Here we have a new answer, a third answer, telling us that in the Tanakh, you are allowed to leave out a generation, and that's why he's called here his uncle.
Don't take it so literally.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the problem with two people of the same name is that the pasuk should have differentiated Hananel ben this one and Hananel ben this one.
Okay, that's a problem. Rashi says Shema. But Rashi is very negative. If you're not going to say this, I don't know the pshat. I don't know what else you can possibly say. Shema Shnaim Hayu, Vim Ein Zos Lo Yadati Mahu. Those are powerful words. Rashi's words are very concise. If Rashi went to the effort of writing those words, Rashi's saying, if this is not the Pshat, then there is no Pshat. And then when he goes on to say the two things, he rejects it.
And yet others disagree with it.
And why did Rashi didn't know what it says over here in Chumash that Lo was called his brother? And we left out the fact that he was the Ben Achiv. Rashi couldn't give us that answer. So why did Rashi give us that answer? I do not know. Okay, but it's very interesting to be aware of this.
Okay, brother is very often used in another sense, right. Like comrades.
Right, comrades. Right, right. So Rashi obviously is working with that. That's why it's not over here. They're not comrades. So therefore, you can't say the interpretation that we're brothers. He was his brother because they were not comrades, and they're over here. So therefore, Rashi rejected that interpretation to an uncle and a cousin. And Rashi says the only interpretation is that there were two Chananels. Ain't no Chanami. He adds in.
Rashi, maybe
Rashi fell? Oh, we're in Chumash.
Yes.
So Rashi, the Targum Taka, adds in the son. Interesting. Rashi adds in, the Targum adds in a word. It's not usual for the Targum uncle is to add words into the pasuk. That's very rare. Yeah. So that's very interesting. I don't know, okay, but you see over here the complexity of the matter. We have a problem. We have a contradiction. Everyone here on the page is struggling to answer this question. And if you, and you go and look at the one thing we just reviewed, the Mitzudos, he seems to say, like Rashi's first interpretation, the Mitzudos learns like Rashi's first interpretation that there were two Hananels. Otherwise, we got a problem. So, Sach HaKol, we have over here three interpretations exactly who this person was. Okay, Uva Amar, let's go further. Uva Amar, Shnosna Sefer HaMikne, Rotzalaymar, Im Hasfarim Achel, when it's the game of Sefer HaMikne, this is the question, why did he only give to Hananel one of the books? The Radak just finished telling us that there were three books. So it's not a kasha. Of course, it means im hasfarim ha'achirim elish zohar sefer hamiknes shehi hu ikar. We mention only one of the three. We did not mention the terms and regulations. We did not mention the sefer that was the carbon copy that revealed what was written inside. We only mentioned the explicit pasuk, the one that was the ikar. Haksuvim b'sefer hamikneh ritzon leimar shechos mabay shemam leedus. The witnesses signed in this sefer that what's written over here is MS. Now let's just make an observation. What is going on when you make a transaction? Okay, you go. Let's say you buy something. Who delivers the document to who? When you make a transaction, so normally the one that makes the transaction, well, there's a deed. The deed normally is given from the seller to the buyer. Isn't that the way it normally works?
Yeah.
You have a house, you sell the house, I'm giving you the document, this is the deed, this states I am the owner, now you are the owner. Here it's just the opposite. Here, it is the buyer, it is Yirmiyah, who is giving the Sefer HaChosum, the Golui, and he is giving the document to the seller. So I don't know what this means. Obviously there is some type of, now you can say there's going to be a Kenyan Suda, it's not a Kenyan Suda, this is a transaction. The details of why it's being done this way, I do not know. I think the Gemara actually discussed them, giving himself the Kiddushin. The Gemara says Sefer HaMikneh, the Gemara talks about this, I don't remember, but it's just something to keep in mind for future reference. Okay, let's go back now. Go to Pasuk Yudal in the Mitzud in the Radak. The Radak should be the Pasuk in Koyam Hashem Tzvok. Koyach, take. I want you to take as a Sfarim O'Ela. I want it to be preserved after the transaction has been done and the document has been transferred. I want now them to be preserved in a Klicheres Leman Yamdu Yamim Rabim Lo Koyach Mekor B'Mokom Tzivui. This is the source of the Shorish is Lo Koyach with a Komatz. It's a command. Hashem is commanding Yirmiyah what to do. K'moy zohar es yom ha-shabbos. Holoch v'karasa v'oznei Yerushalayim v'hadem lohem. Every time you have a komatz in the beginning of a word like this, I'm not sure of all the grammatical details, it indicates that it is a command. Next.
This one is not a command.
No, he commanded it.
It's a makor, not to.
The makar is a grammatical term. Makar means that the form of this word is in the command. It's a command form. Okay. Next, the esachasum sefer, and also take the other books. The Radak is lishi tosoi sefer hamitzvah hakukim. Kach. So lokoach. Okay. All right. Fine. Take the other books, the mitzvah chukim, they also were sealed. Take them and put them in a klicheres leman yamdu yamim rabim. What is this over here in the Radak? At shuv ha-goyle. What is the yamim rabim? How long? 70 years. Until you come back in time of the Churban, sh'oz tiskayim nevuas od yikonu vatim. So this is very important. Radak is telling us, he's citing another pasuk. There was another prophecy. And the other prophecy said explicitly that the day will come when you will purchase more fields. When the time of purchasing more fields will come, this field will be off limits. Because this field will be already been accounted for, it's my field. And it's going to be a sign that the ghost will return. Beautiful words over here in the Radak to give comfort to Yisrael. Yirmi over here is a nevuah of comfort. After I've told you the reality, there's going to be galus, you're going to be destroyed, I want to give you comfort, the day is going to come when you're going to return once again to Yerushalayim, and it's not forever. Because we see, Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation where of course it's not forever. Because we've already gone through the cycle so many times. We've already by Srishan, the Bayashani, we've come back. So we know there's going to be Geula. But this was such a traumatic experience for Klal Yisrael. The very first time they're being exiled from the land, it was unprecedented in world history that a nation that is exiled from their homeland would ever return. They were either destroyed or they assimilated with their host country. Never were they to return. So Klal Yisrael, many people in Klal Yisrael really believe that this is going to happen. We are never going to return. He's telling them, no, you're going to return. You're going to break the rule. You're going to shatter the glass ceiling. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Liknas hasada hasada l'nachamam liyishol shlo yachshu she'avda tigvasam imiglu that don't nothing that you're going to all is lost if you're going to go into Golis. Okay, now we go to Pasik Yud. We go to Pasik Tezvav. Okay, now we go with Pasik Tezvav. He goes and he describes ki koyam Hashem tzevakas l'kei Yisrael od yikanu. That's what the really Radak said. The day will come when you will purchase Batim, homes, v'sadois, v'churamim, v'aretz, hazos, neslenk, and that was the Nechama. We really should have done that with the other psukim, but let's just quickly look in the Mitzudos. In the Mitzudos it says, Pasuk Tezav, ki koi ko'imer, as the Pasuk says, it's self-understood, al tachshoif, shekniyas hasode, unesinas hasvarim, v'chulicheres, heimo, hevel. Do not be mistaken and think that the acquisition of the property and putting the documents in a klicheres is futile. Hoil since for Hakastim Yirshu Es Aretz, because the Kastim are going to conquer the land. It's not so. It's only temporary. Ki koyamar Hashem, Rotzoloimar, Da'ati noite b'ma she'omar li Hashem, my knowledge, my nadas inclines, it guides me regarding what Hashem said. Hinei chanamel v'hu l'man ekne hasada b'yemes. This is a real transaction. Hakavone hi liyos le'ois. What I'm doing here is a sign. Ularanes, and to indicate she'od yovo zman shebnei Yisrael yiknu batim veloti haaretz nechletes biyad ha'kastim. It will not be abandoned. It will not be lost in the hands of the kastim. Ki yachshu v'yashuvu heina, the Klal Yisrael will return once again to this land. Okay, let us see what it says in Rashi. Ki choy amar Hashem. We did that Rashi already. We did that Hashem says al toymash luchin mani matzniam sharei akol goylim. It's not so. You're going to return. Pasuk Tezvav. Ki choy amar Hashem soifon liknoi spatim. You're going to once again purchase homes. Radak we already did. Now we begin the tefillah. Now we begin beautiful tefillah. That's this. This is the conclusion of the Haftorah on Parshas Bahar. This tefillah. Espalel el Hashem. Yirmiyah now says, I daven to Hashem acharei siti es ha-sefer ha-mikneh, after I delivered the sefer ha-mikneh, el baruch ben Neriah leimar, the following tefillah, aho. Aho is an expression of mourning, alas, woe, aho, you give out an expression of grief, Hashem Elohim, hine behold, ato asiso es ha-shamayim, v'es ha-aretz, b'choychacho ha-gadol, in your great koyach uvizroyacho hanetui, on the outstretched arm, lo yipole mimcho kol dovar, being that you are the creator of the heaven and the earth, you are aware of every single thing that occurs in heaven and earth. Next pasuk, oisa, what else do you do, Hashem? Oisa chesed lo alafim, you do kindness for a thousand generations. A person does a good deed, Hashem will repay his descendants for 1,000 generations. And you also will punish the next generation for the sins of their fathers. But we know it doesn't say over here for 1,000 generations. We know in the Torah it only goes down 3 or 4 generations. Three, four generations. Only, of course, in the case when the children are continuing to do the same averos that they were trained to do by their fathers. And here we have some very interesting words which will surprise us. Hakel, you are a gakel. Hagodol, hagibar. What is missing? Which word is missing? Noira is missing. Go down the next generation after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Daniel, what did Daniel say? Hakel Hagodol. We'll see. When he prays Hashem, he even left out the word Gibar. And finally, the Anshei Knesses Hagadola, they will machzer Atar liyoshla. Then they said that when we daven in the Shemon Esrei, we should say Hakel Hagodol Hagibar VeHanayra, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. So this pasuk is part of a series. It's critical. Moshe, it's a 4-part series. Moshe said Hakel Hagodol Hagibar VeHanayra. Yirmiyah is the first person to reduce, to deduct. No more Noira. Finished. Daniel goes down another Madrega. Hakel HaGadol. not gibor and not noira. Ayei noirosav. We are ayei gvuroisav. Ayei noirosav. And then the anshei kineses hagadola puts them both back. Puts them both back to restore it to the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vehanoira. We'll discuss those words, what they mean in detail in a few moments. Let's finish this pasuk. Hagadol, Hagibor, Vehanoira, Hashem Tzevakosh, Hashem Tzevakosh is your name. Pasuk Yud Tes. Gidol Ho'etza. Hashem is great in counsel. Verav Ho'a Li Liya. That's a tongue twister. Ho'a Li Liya. But not the way I said it, because there are two different. You have to put a double emphasis on the lamed and the yud. The trop is on the yud at the end, so it'll be hoa li liyo. But there's a neseg under the lamed, hoa li liyo. It's a very tricky word to pronounce with perfection, and that means you are great indeed. Asher einecha fikuchois, your eyes are aware. Are aware. Al kol means like they're pikuchos, means they're open. Your eyes are open. That doesn't. Your eyes are open. Al kol darchei bnei adam, lo seis leish kidrachav uchafrim ma'alalav, to give a person according to his ways and according to the fruit, the consequences of his deeds. Okay, let's do these sukkim first and mefarshim too before we get too carried away. Starting with pasuk tes zayin. Pasuk tes zayin. He says, I pray to Hashem after I deliver the Sefer HaMikneh to Baruch ben Neri Olemar. Tezayin in the Mitzudos, the Sefer HaMikneh, who had in Sefer HaGoli, Lukatsu, Inyan Zohar, Ha'ikol Levad. He gave all the books to Baruch ben Neri, his student, but we're only mentioning the primary book. Aha, what is Aha? Who Inyan Tza'akas Yilalah. Shehi Meitzar V'doeg Al Shehoya Novuch. It's an expression of pain. Al shehoya novuch miladas amitas pishon kinias hasod. Unbelievable what he says. That Yirmiyah, this goes back to what we discussed yesterday at great length. Yirmiyah was novuch. Novuch means he was confused to know the understanding, the amitas pishon, the true interpretation of buying the field. Now we saw that yesterday in the confusion that he expressed when he did not know if Hashem even wanted him to buy the field. All Yirmiyah was told was that Hananel, your cousin, is coming and is going to make an offer. And Yirmiyah had a dilemma. Just because he's coming, does that mean I should buy it? Or maybe Bedavka Hashem means I should make a public spectacle by not buying it. To tell the world, the land is worthless, because we're all going to be going to Golis. Wake up. The reality is, we're going to go into Golis. It's not a good deal. Or no, maybe I should buy the land. If I should buy the land, what does it mean? That's a contradiction to what I've been preaching all along. Maybe people will be a Chil Hashem. I'm telling everyone we're going into Golis, and here I am. I'm cashing in on it. I'm predicting the whole world. Gloom and doom. Think about a politician say, this will be scandalous. We appreciate the death. Scandalous. Yirmiyah is predicting gloom and doom. So everyone is selling out. And who goes and buys everything? Yirmiyah himself. Yirmiyah himself comes along and he buys everything. Oh, Rabbi Yisai, there's no gloom and everything is okay. Now Hashem forgave your sins. And now the price of real estate skyrockets. And who profits and all this? Yirmiyah.
He's a prophet.
It's a prophet business, right? So it's scandalous. Yirmiyah was grappling with these dilemmas. What exactly am I doing over here? What I'm doing over here can turn into a very great scandal. And that's
70 years from now.
Okay, it was obviously, there's a lot going on here behind the scenes. We mentioned most of this yesterday, and that's why he said twice, Hashem told me Nevuah. Oh, and then when he finished, oh, now I knew that Hashem spoke to me words of Nevuah. We're not going back and discussing all those details, but what is very interesting is that the Mitzudos says that is the meaning, the Pshuta Shalmik of why he said Aha. He's asking the obvious question, what is he so distraught about? But what happened over it? What's the terrible thing? Why? What's aha? So if you would not see the Mitzudos, you would say that there's going to be a Chorban. But that's not the focus of what's taking place over here. So the Mitzudos seems to say aha is going back on the frustration that Yirmiyah himself had in understanding what exactly does Hashem want from me in this particular instance. He was confused. Then he goes on to say, "Ribayin shalaylam lo yipolei mimchadavar. There is nothing that is concealed from you. Since everything is the work of your hands, imkem bivadai einista mimchashom davar. There is nothing that is concealed from you." Pasuk Yud Ches, Oisei Chesed La'alafim, Ba'avur Tzidkas HaTzadik, Oisei Chesed L'Zaroi Ad Alpayim Doros. Hashem rewards the children of the Tzadikim until 1,000 generations. El Cheg B'neihem, Meshalem Gemul Ha'avoyin, Hashem punishes for sin, El Kerev B'neihem, and in the midst of their children, Acharehem Ratzolayma, Kishaholchim, the Radak makes it very clear, it doesn't automatically, it only means if they follow in the evil ways of their forefathers, Kishaholchim Acharehem Lechoiz B'maseihem, to do their evil deeds, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish the children, not only the children, but will punish them for their father's sins as well. Gedol Ha'etza, Hashem, you are great in counsel, Atzasai Gedolah V'chashuva, your counsel is great and important. Roiv Ho'alila, Ma'asav merubim, your deeds are great. Ki kol asher yachbetz yaseh, whatever you want, you do. Al kol darchei lahashkiach, al kol darchei me'adam, to guide all the ways of man. Laman teitz l'chol ish kefi derachav, to give a person according to what he deserves. Uchfri ma'alalav, according to the consequence of his deeds. Ritzon olema, hadav hanimshach me'asav, whatever comes from his deeds. Ma'ashalo ha'isa kavanah se'alav, what he did not have kavanah, ki gam al zeh yavi b'mishpat. One more time, Hadavra Hanimshach Memasav, Mashalo Hoysa Kavana Soyalov. I don't know what that means. You know what that means? What was not his Kavana? I'm not sure exactly how to translate these words. Kigam al Zeyava Bemishbat, whatever a person does, even if it was not his Kavana, whatever a person is responsible for, ultimately the person will get what he deserves. Pasik Chav Ad Hayoim Hazeh, Ritzon Eloimar. Haniskarim ad hayoyim hazeh. That's the next pasuk. Okay, that we didn't do. Pasuk chaf we did not yet do. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi going back pasuk yud zayin lo yipale lo yikochet. It is not denied. V'yodeya ato shesoyfanu liglois v'lomo amarti liglois hasodeh. Hashem, you know that we're going to Golis. So why then did you command me to purchase this piece of property? It must then be for a sign, as Rashi says, a sign of emuna, that the day will come when we will return to the land. Okay, there is no more Rashi on the tefillah that we learned until now. But you possibly yuchas there is u'mishalim avoyin avoyis al cheik. Hador hazeh haholchim achrei avoseihem b'derech hara. So here, indeed, Rashi says that this generation is a generation where you're punishing, because this generation, the Talmud Chorban, they're following in the evil ways of their forefathers, and that's why they deserve to go into Golis. Then he says, Hashem, you are gadol hagibar v'le omar v'hanoira. He did not say v'hanoira. Omar oivde, why not? Omar oivde alilim merakadim behecholoi aye noira yisaf b'mesach de yuma. Masech Yoma, the Gemara says, you cannot say Noira when the Goyim are dancing in the Beis Hamikdash, meaning they conquered the Beis Hamikdash. That is not called awesome. Noira, in the simplest translation of the word, means awesome. Awe is a very high form of fear. The place of fear, the altar place of fear, is where the Kodesh HaKadosh, in the place of the Hashuas HaShchina. If the Goyim have no fear, they can come there and they can do whatever they want. They can come there and stab the Parichas, and they can do an Aveir in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Obviously, there is no such thing as Noira, and that is why Yirmiyahu, who saw the Churban coming, did not say the word Noira. Gevura is might. If Klal Yisrael, they go into Golis, and Klal Yisrael is subject to exile, Daniel says, how can we say Kodesh Baruch Hu is called a Gibor, when you can't even protect your own people? Hashem is not Gibor, so he deleted that. But now Sheikh Nesak Dola says, Adaraba, Hein Gevuroisa, okay, we'll come to that in a moment, they restored it. I just want to finish with the Radak, then we'll talk about that. The Radak, going back to Pasek Tes Zayin. No, we did Pasuk Yud Zayin. Aha ato asiso es hashemayim v'es aretz v'kevan shasiso oisam. Since you, Hashem, created v'shamayim v'aretz lo yitachen sheyipalei v'yelam imchal kol davar hanas v'bohem. It is impossible that something is going to be concealed from you that's being done bein b'shamayim u'bein b'aretz v'yimtinasin ho'ir b'yad kastim. And if this city is going to be delivered in the hand of the enemy, the kastim, ato yodata, you certainly know about it. V'choshav yirmiyah ki ulay shav apo mehem merov chasadov. Yirmiyah is now thinking that maybe Hashem is changing his mind. He's not going to destroy Yerushalayim. Obviously, the Radak is also struggling like the Mitzudos, like everyone else. What exactly? Yirmiyah over here appears to be a bit confused. Okay, the Mitzudos here really hit the nail on the head with the word Navuch. The Radak over here reads it into the Pasuk. He reads Pshat in the Pasuk. I'm confused. Maybe the reason why you want me to buy the field is because you're telling me now to cancel all of my previous words of gloom and doom. You're changing your mind. You're changing your mind. The Churban is not going to come. We're going to have a healthy economy, and therefore do a ma'aseh to show that the economy is viable and everyone should engage in speculation, in buying real estate, buying property. And why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? Look around. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shfichas Damim is all over the place. The answer is because of the Zechus Avos, the Zecher Chastei Avos. That's why it's Lalofim. So therefore, that's how the Radak understands why he's saying these words over here, is because Yirmiyah basically is confused. He sees there's a possibility that there's another interpretation for the prophecy of why he should buy the land. Pasuk Yudches in the Radak, Elchek B'neihem Achareihem, Kishoechazim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes future generations, provided that they continue to do the Averis as their grandparents, their forefathers trained them. Kishoechazim Asmasei Avoseihem B'yedeihem, K'moshekos B'torah L'sonoi those who hate me. HaKel HaGodol HaGibar, what happened to the word Hanoira? The Radak quotes Rashi, Amar Rabbi Sinzach Levracha, Lom Lom Yom Yom If the goyim are dancing, so to speak, in the heichel, they come, they conquer the heichel. Pasuk Yutes, Gidol Hoitzosh, Eitzoysov, Gidolos, Umasov, Rabim, Mehasigam. His counsel, his advice is great, and his deeds are too great for us to understand. Ho Alila, Hamaisa, Al Kol Dark Bine Adam, Loikamosh Amur Ein Hashem Roy Oisanu. Don't make a mistake and think Hashem does not see what's going on. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is inside of us. He sees what we think, what we do. La Seishla Ishki Dracha, Vukri Malalov, Asher Beparsha, Hashem Uzi Lamala. Vilosis kifri, Hashem is my might above, and to give my fruit, vilosis kifri, vhasimun vicholu. I don't know what this means. I have no idea what he's saying over here in the Radak. We'll leave what it says because I don't know. Okay, now let's just discuss very briefly, a few minutes we have left, the concept of HaGodla Yivahanoi. Once we're talking about it over here, what does it mean? I have a favorite drush. I once spoke to my Reisman about this at length. He heard me out. I don't think he agreed. But I'll tell you what I told him. I told him, not necessarily agreed. He had a little bit of a different twist. But the idea is, we say in Shemona Esrei, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibar, Vahanoira. There are really four words. The entire first bracha is Kel, Godol, Gibar, and Noira. Now, those words are very, very hard to translate. In the Shemona Esra, we go on to translate the precise meaning of those words. After we say the four words, HaKel, HaGadol, Gibor, HaNoira, we explain. When we said before Kel, what kind of Kel? Kel literally means powerful. Power. Now, there are powerful people in this world. There are many powerful people. There are many objects that are powerful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just a Kel. He is Kel Elyon. He is the extreme, the utmost Kel. The Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Hanoira. Kama. Let's explain. Hashem is a Kel Elyon. The Kel that we said before is a mighty being. He's a mighty being that's above and beyond anything that we can possibly comprehend. Next. What was the next word? The next word is Godol. What is the meaning of greatness? So this is something which you can prove throughout Tanakh. Greatness is synonymous with giving. And that's why Goimel Chasodim Toivim V'Koinei HaKol. The words of the first bracha of doing kindness, Chasodim Tovim, is the definition of the word Godol. And why does it say v'konei hakol? Konei hakol means he creates everything. It means more. By doing kindness, you become indebted to the one that has done kindness with you. If you ever received a bribe, chas v'shalom, if you ever received a bribe or a gift from a person, you're right away drawn toward that person. We are drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because everything that we have in this world came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is goimel chasodim toivim. Mimela, being that we are the recipients of the chasodim toivim, the koine, you have acquired. Koine, there are different translations for the word koine. I'm now taking the translation to acquire. You have acquired every single one of us through the act of bestowing upon us chasodim tovim. All of this is the translation of the word gadol. Next, what's the next word? Gibar. What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the gibar? He prevents tragedies from happening. He holds back. What is gevura? Gevura is a zehu gibar hakoivesh es yitzro. Restraint. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to restrain himself from punishing us when we deserve to be punished? So the Shmona Esrei explains, because Zoicher Chastei Avos. It's not in our merit, it's in the merit of Zuchus Avos. Hashem is angry. Hashem wants to punish us, to bring a tragedy upon us. We deserve it. Hashem is Gibar. He holds himself back. Why? We deserve it. V'Zoicher Chastei Avos. Now, what's the next last expression? Is the last expression the definition of Noira? What does it mean, Noira? So Noira literally means awesome. But Noira, where is Hashem's awesomeness? The awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping record. He's keeping track. He's keeping the score. Umevi goyel levnei v'nehem leman shemo be'ahava. That is Noira. Noira means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is continuously orchestrating events to bring the Geula for the great-grandchildren, the descendants of the Avos. That's called Noira. Noira is the big picture. When all the pieces of the big picture come together in a master plan to bring the desired result, and a person sits back and looks in this, he's overwhelmed. I never realized that this had to happen at this point in time, and this had to happen in order for all of these things to come into play, so to achieve the ultimate desired result. It blows a person's mind. That's called Noira. So Sach HaKol Tovu, what we've done over here is we've taken the Shemona Esrei, and we've said the Shemona Esrei, there are four words. There is Kel, there is Gadol, there is Gibar, and there is Noira. Then the Shemona Esrei goes on to explain, let me now elaborate the deeper meaning of each one of these four words. First word was Kel. Kel means mighty. Don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mighty like a mighty thing on this world. That's foolish. Hashem's Kel is Kel Elyon. It's the uppermost, highest, above and beyond. When it says Gadol, what does it mean Hashem is Gadol? The definition of Hashem's greatness is in the fact that Hashem gives to us. He provides. He's the ultimate provider. Goimel chasodim toivim v'koinei hakol. By providing, he acquires us. We become indebted to him. Next, Hashem is a gibor. Gibor means Yishevim mechavein Hashem. You prevent tragedies. We live through the day. We should say al hanisim halal every day. We know how many things that Kadosh Baruch Hu saves us without us realizing every day how dangerous the world is, and every day that we survive, even though we survived, it's awesome that Hashem has held back the tragedies that could have come upon us. Why? Our zechus, not our zechus. V'zoicher chastei avos. Exactly what it says over here in this pasuk. Mishalem. It says over here. Oitzeh chesed la'lofin. The male Kadosh Baruch Hu is gibor. He holds himself back. And then when it says Noira, the Noira is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping score. Mevi goyel levnei v'nehem leman shemo b'ava. Hashem is orchestrating events to bring the ultimate geula. So now you take that idea and you inject that idea into this pasuk. It's very interesting why Yirmiyah left out. I'm saying now drush. Besides the pshut shel mikra of the Rashi and the Radak and the Gemara that says Ayeinu Yosef, the custom, they are dancing. They're dancing in the Beis HaMikdash. Where is the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's more than that. Over here, Yirmiyah is describing the Golus. We're going into Golus, and I'm doing an act of Emunah that there will be a Geula. I'm buying the field. I'm buying the field, but it's hidden. It's the entire episode that's taking place over here is something which is completely hidden from us. It doesn't make any logical sense. If there's going to be a churban, then the field is worthless. Why would I go through the effort of paying 7 shkolim and 10 silver coins to buy a land? The answer is because I know there's going to be noira. There's going to be, that's the entire thing is Dumevi Goyal Livnei Vinehem Leman Shemel Ba'ava. I'm preparing all of that in advance. But that entire thing is something which is hidden, is concealed, is what I'm trying to bring out. So it's very precise that word here is missing. That word here is missing. We say it today because we already have an appreciation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing all of these things. But here, when it's happening at this moment in time, it's the tachlis of Hester Panim. This is the Hester Panim, and he's doing a Maisa, which is obviously he's struggling. He begins, Aha. Aha means, whoa, I'm doing something which to you probably makes absolutely no sense, and I agree it makes no sense, and that's why I'm also going to leave out the word Noira. Leaving out the word Noira goes hand in hand with saying the word Aha. Whoa, we're going through big tsaris over here, the land's really going to be worthless. I'm doing over here really makes absolutely no sense, because the idea of maybe goal of Nevenim Laman Shmuel Biava is Nelan. It's Nister, Vyanochi Haster Aster Ponai. But we have to still encourage ourselves to have that amuna that there will indeed be Noira and there will be Gula of Nevenim Laman Shmuel Biava. Okay, so that's what we're up to, and then we're going to start tomorrow with Pasik Chaf. Pasik Chaf is where we will begin. The what?
It looks like a urn that used to bury stuff, and it has the pasik on top that you just had.
Godel Ha'itza? Interesting. Okay. Okay, everybody, so what we're going to do today, Pnini Halacha. Okay, we have to every day do something a little different to keep you interested. So today we're going to do Pnini Halacha. Masechta Bava Metzia. Masechta, some very good stuff in this Masechta.